those of us that had the chance to go down to Heart for the Next Generation. And what was amazing is, isn't it interesting the tension that you feel at times when you sense the presence and the moving of God, and yet it can be in at times it can be in some of the most sober occasions. And of course we all week long we felt that tension. We felt it on the highway as we were holding up signs on the highway. We sensed it in times where we were gathered there in front of the abortion clinic itself. I'll tell you, we had some of the most, powerful services I've been in a long time. Because it so honored the character and the nature of who God is. God is for us and not against us. God is life and not death. Amen? And we were bringing light and life to the very gates of hell and darkness itself. And so this morning I'm going to begin. We're going to show some videos this morning. We're going to share testimonies this morning. And this is my prayer. This is my prayer. This is one thing I know. When you go to a conference, obviously you're hearing my heart, you're hearing the excitement. You know how that is, right? Any of you have been to a conference, been to somewhere, you're impacted, you're touched, and you come back and you're all fired up. And we've been through that. You go to the mountaintops, and what's interesting is that we were going to the valley at the same time to experience the truth in the high place of God. Amen. And so I realize fully that most of you weren't there. And none of us who were can put in your heart what we just brought home. We just can't. We're going to do our best to give you glimpses this morning. This is my prayer. This is my prayer for us as a church. That you see enough in us today and next week. Because Danielle is coming home this week, and she can't share with us today. And she's been at this for an entire month. And we're going to have her share with us next Sunday. Amen? And we can't get all the video stuff that we took in today either. So we'll share some of that next week. So you get an addendum for a couple of weeks, but you're going to like it. Amen? But this is my prayer in the next couple of weeks, that we walk away with what you see in us. You're going to say, I want in on some of that. Okay? But this is my prayer, that you just don't want in on it because you want a good feeling like you see everybody have. Because this is far from being about good feelings. This is about the battle between life and death, good and evil, light and darkness. This is what it's about. And I'm telling you, if you can go next year, plan on it now. We don't even know the dates. We don't even know where. Because we're praying that Planned Parenthood is closed next year, so they ain't going to be able to go to Crown Point. We got to go somewhere else to do this. Amen? But my prayer is that you will hear from us. You will not forget. But you will say, I'm going to go to that next year. And then this is my prayer, is that not only will you, and you want to go, because, you ought to see pastors and people and the gathering of the body of Christ in a way you can't not even imagine, okay? But even if we got to be the catalyst church, I want to see us. And you're going to have an opportunity in about a month. Because of this thing, this is like Pastor Keith said when we were there, it's like the Lord threw us a softball. coming into heart for the next generation. This is the first time they've done this in front of a Planned Parenthood. They've done it with independent abortion clinics because they're not nationally funded. Planned Parenthood is. So this was taking on one of the big dogs, if you will, because it's a nationally funded thing. And Pastor Key said, and the Lord threw us a softball because this thing all broke out on Facebook about selling baby organs, body parts. If any of you have seen that on Facebook, it's absolutely disgusting that this is what Planned Parenthood is doing, and this is what we've got to awaken our culture up. They now go in, and if you have not seen the video, there is a lady that is the head of an abortion clinic, actually several, that they go in and she's talking about while eating salad and drinking wine with people, about going in and making sure that she doesn't damage the internal organs, but she's going to crush the head, the top, and the extremities, but still wants to retrieve the organs so that they can sell them on the market. But this is just a blob of tissue that's been said for years, right? Well, there is move already in Congress where we need to pray and pray hard that Planned Parenthood gets defunded, okay? Now, if you see this, there's also going to be this argument because the Planned Parenthood people, they are scattering and they are scurrying to try to cover their backside, to put it very frankly. And they're telling you, well, those videos were highly edited. But yet the group, this was a group that got on the inside over a 3-year period and was able to expose through these videos what was going on. But they said it was highly edited. Well, if you want to spend 3 hours, you can go on YouTube as well and you can watch the whole hour thing, and you can tell you that what they put on there is fully in context. Fully in context with what is going on. We learned this while we were down there. There's about a dozen more videos yet to come out between now and probably about September. So Planned Parenthood's going to be nailed. It's very strategic. Praise God. Amen. I mean, we took our lumps with the Supreme Court decision, so, you know. But the one thing Pastor Key says is that the thing is that because you understand the LGBT community is linked up with the whole abortion industry. I mean, they work hand in hand. And spiritually speaking, a lot of people don't realize this, is that with the sacrifice of children, that's a blood sacrifice. That's, spiritually speaking, that's what gives an immoral mindset that it, you know, permeates our culture, power. I mean, this is, you got to think of this on a spiritual level, not just a natural level. And so Pastor Keith was saying, because the LGBT community is so celebrating this victory, they have left the door unguarded of the abortion industry, which is what gives them their power, spiritually speaking. So if we can shut down abortion clinics, we can begin to, I mean, in the heavenlies, we can begin to win this war, which is going to eventually get fleshed out in the earth. Amen? I mean, so this is a time where, wow, it was nice to have some encouraging truth coming to us. And yet, the battle is far from over. If you knew that we were in a workshop, this lady is putting together a curriculum that I would like to see us, many of us, go through in the church to equip us. It will give you understanding of A to Z, basically. It even talked about that there is the organ, abortion organ market that's out there. I mean, this lady, she was not in the world. She was in this other area. She wrote curriculum for like universities and things like that. She's now in the pro-life movement, and she's written this thing, and it's very in-depth in terms of equipping the church to understand how to battle this issue. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to start, I'm just going to, just to give us some perspective, we're going to watch a video, And that's that we saw while we were in a service. And then what I want to do is I want you to be able to see a little, as much as you can via visual, experience a little bit of what we experienced while we were there, because I want you to begin to get to be able to see this. And I want to tear down this fallacy that this was a bunch of activists going out there with gritted teeth and anger and all that. I said this today, there's a difference between action and activism. And what you're going to see, and that's why I wanted to show some of these things, is I want you to see that the purpose that we were there, yes, there's signs, yes, there's words communicating, this is wrong, this is what's happening, because of we are engaged in this in the culture. But then I want you to be able to sense the atmosphere, because we literally sense the atmosphere of that around that abortion clinic shift. When we were worshiping yesterday, I'm telling you, and Pastor Keith, you'll hear him, I think it's the video we're going to show, he talks about how this is now a clean atmosphere because of the worship and the presence of God that was brought in. Amen. So, but let's. I want you to get a perspective just to begin with. They showed this to us on the number of people that have been killed combined in all of the wars versus how many babies have been killed since 1973. That brings perspective. We got to stop that. Amen? Do whatever we can do. And I believe that there's an army rising up to do it. I believe that. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe it's going to happen mainly through the political system. What we were doing down there is what's shutting this thing down. Legislation will end up following it, not leading it. And that means the church is to do it. So I want to show you just a few more other videos just to kind of just put you as best as we can kind of where we were at while we were down there, just to let you experience a little bit of the atmosphere of what we were experiencing.
God reigns forever, our King reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. God reigns. Our God reigns. Forever our King reigns.
Notice the pine trees there. There's two pine trees. They are completely dead on that property. This was an independent news agent that was there.
Right? Sin loves darkness, right? It loves it, sin is based on secrecy and shame, right? Nobody has public affairs, right? There's not public child abuse. It's all behind the scenes, you know? The human traffickers and the child pornographers and the abortion industry all like to hide and abuse children in secrecy. And so as we come up to stand up against child abuse, all forms of child abuse, criminalized and decriminalized, we want to let you know you're making a difference. You say, it's so simple. We're just out here worshiping Jesus, proclaiming his word and praying. And I tell you, it is that simple. Our power is the gospel. It's never changed. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church that preaches the gospel. It's simple. So we got an impact team member here that's been with us for this month, pouring into her, and she grew up in front of abortion clinics, loving on moms, loving on dads, loving on people, telling them that Jesus loves them and that she loved them, and she's going to share a little word and pray.
Isaiah 44 tells us, now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the
Philip,
thirsty land.
Go ahead and go to the next video, would you please?
Ground. I will pour my...
That gives you a little sense of the atmosphere there at the Planned Parenthood. This is out on Highway 30 in Maryville. This is at the crossroad that goes to the abortion clinic. We'll show a few pictures of some of the worship services, and they also had 24-hour prayer at the abortion clinic. So we have a couple of pictures of, this was actually in the worship services in the evenings, or possibly one of the breakout sessions that we were having. That was an evening service there, yeah. And then that's at the Planned Parenthood in the evening hours, where people are worshiping and praying around the clock. There were times when they were open. There was Friday they were not open. Saturday they are typically opened, but they had... Because of our event, they had pretty much weren't accepting patients that day. Woo-hoo! So there were abortions that would have been done that weren't done as a result of it. So, and we did have at the end, it was quite interesting. There was three ladies who were workers at Planned Parenthood. And as you saw that picture where the sign is, there's an entryway right there. And they were standing right in that entryway, just watching what we were doing and taking pictures. And they started engaging with one man, and he handled it well. But, you know, obviously they weren't impressed, you know. But, you know, he just tried to share emphasis on, you know, these are lives, you know, that have value. So... I just wanted to give you that this is the kind of environment that, you know, if you participate in Heart for the Next Generation, this is the kind of thing that we do. And it was really exciting because there where you saw, I did it with our group down the highway, but this is probably one of the busiest intersections in Crown Point, right there on Highway 30. And then the crossroad, again, like I said, goes right up to the abortion clinic. There's a little jog in there. But the first day we didn't do this, but the second day, on that intersection, we literally had each side, each part of the intersection was covered. And those that went last year, they said there was a significant different atmosphere this year than what they experienced. They experienced last year in Dayton, they experienced quite a bit of hostility. And ironically, it was made mostly from African-American people. Not all, but many people, African-American people, were not happy about it in Dayton. But this year, in Crown Point, for whatever reason, it's obviously the culture of the city, We were seeing far more African-American people that were waving and thumbs up and tooting their horn and smiles. And it was probably, I think somebody said, it was probably about a 20-to-1 ratio. You know, we did get the "you're number one" sign a few times. But, you know, we just lift them to Jesus. And we'd pray for people, you know. But people really realize that it isn't about, you're not going to go there and beat it into somebody's head. And being activist-oriented, you're not going to scream them down. So this whole purpose is about bringing the presence of God to a place where the presence of God is not invited in most situations. And believing that the kingdom of darkness, when the kingdom of light comes on the scene through the body of Christ, gets dispelled. And so they're really praying that that abortion clinic in a year's time is gone. Yes, its last day was this week. Where Heart for the Next Generation was last year. Yep. The funding, they couldn't keep their funding and everything else. So praise God. So this works. Now, this is what I'm going to tell you, whether you know it or not. We have Planned Parenthoods and abortion clinics in Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo. Battle Creek has a Planned Parenthood, but it doesn't provide abortion services, but it does provide abortion referrals. And Lansing. So Berry County is in the hub. Now I'm going to tell you, somehow, some way, Scott Heldreth said he would be more than willing to come up our way and help us do this. I somehow, some way, would like to be a church that is a catalyst for going on site. We need to seek God on which one to target in which city. But I would like to connect. I'm hoping that our county Right to Life will work with us on this. We'll see. Even if they don't, somehow I know that the Lord is saying, I've got to drive this thing. I've got to lead this thing as a pastor. And I'm praying other pastors will come on board. A lot of them are worried about what they're going to lose. I'm worried about what we're going to lose too, but it's a lot bigger than just one church. It's our nation. Amen. So what I'm going to do, I had some other videos. We're not going to have time to show them. I want to give those that were with us opportunities to share their experiences, what God worked in them. And with Danielle coming next Sunday, sharing her testimony, we'll share some other things by way of that worship service. I want you to be able to get a taste of that worship service that we experienced there at Planned Parenthood. It was from 8:30 till noon. So, hey, you ain't got nothing on that. We ain't got nothing on that. No. But I mean, oh, powerful, powerful. So, guys, come on up if you want to come up one at a time. You feel more comfortable as a group. And share what God's put on your heart. Yes, here's the microphone. Don will go first. All right.
For me, this was something that was dear to my heart to be able to take part of, because my sister was born the year that Roe versus Wade came about, and it was just a couple months that it came about before she was born. And I remember being with my mom at a Kmart in Battle Creek, and they were out passing out information about abortion, and they handed it to my mom, and she ripped it up and threw it back at them. And I know she said something, but I don't remember what she said. I just remember her being very mad and angry and upset. So when I knew that I could be part of this, I wanted to go. And the verses that kept going through my mind this whole time that I was there was Psalms 139, 13 through 16. And it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. For my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, and when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." I think one of the hardest things that I saw yesterday was they had this display set out, and they were showing fetal body parts of an 11-week-old baby. And it was about the same age of the last one that I lost. And this baby, he had his mouth open like he was screaming in pain. And it hurt so bad to see that. But then they had a young man who stepped up to the microphone and shared that he had gotten a girl pregnant. And he wasn't man enough to stand up for this baby. And he allowed her to get an abortion. He shared how much God has healed him and helped him to be able to pray for her. And I just thank you for the opportunity to be able to go and be part of this.
If you need it, let me know.
Okay, now I'm not sure I can talk. I learned a lot the year before. I learned more this year. It was a little bit more informative. And the one thing that I learned that was very disturbing to me and hard for me to take in, and I am going to say caution because this is very disturbing and disgusting, but one of the classes that we went to, as Scott was talking about, he wanted us to, as a church, go through this lady's curriculum. She was talking about some of the things that aborted babies are used for, and people that fund, businesses that fund Planned Parenthood, and, well, a lot of the places that are things that we use day to day fund Planned Parenthood. I don't know if anybody's seen the list out or not, but, like, I guess Pepsi pulled from it a while back ago. After Coca-Cola, seeing this list, they removed their name from it, and they are no longer going to support them, and a few other companies. But the part that disturbed me the most was when they were talking about companies that use these aborted babies in the products that we consume for flavor enhancers. I don't remember a lot of them. I do have a small list, but I do remember that Coffee Mate, our coffee creamer, and some other stuff that we use day to day. It's on that list. But just to think that aborted babies are being used in things that we consume, just, it really makes me sick. And they're also using, oh my, that's really small. They're also using baby parts in some of our medicines and vaccines that we have. I have a list here of them too, but the one that is hard is like for heart problems, arthritis, and then our vaccines, the hepatitis A, A and B, measles. A lot of them that our government says that we need to have. It's just really hard for me to even understand all this. It's hard to take in. I can't wait to do that class to learn more about it so I could actually wish I could have told you guys more and be better educated about it, but I'm not yet. That is the one thing I am going to pursue, because to be able to share that with people, I think, would be the one thing that could help, just knowing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm gonna start crying before I say anything. This whole weekend's been emotional for me, and I'm usually a wreck anyway, and then this adds to it. Over the years, I have learned what it means to have a father's heart, to have God's heart, and it just, every year it grows stronger and stronger. Having Danielle down there for this whole month is I'm so proud of her. She took on the challenge. She could have fought it and not gone. But we encouraged her because we know there's something in her that God's going to use. Everybody knows this. Everybody says every time they meet her, they say she's meant for something. This is proving it. She's where God wants her to be. And she's accepted the call. My heart just, it swells every time I think about her. And all my kids, it just, my love grows. I know how God feels about us. Not as much. I have a glimpse of what he feels for us. I'm so proud of her. I'm proud of Maria. She's not mine, but she might as well be. I'm proud of my other kids. And if I can be proud for what these guys are doing, how much more proud is God of us when we take a stand for the unborn? Having the father's heart, you want to stand for these kids that don't even get a chance to love, to play, to be loved, to be held, comforted, become somebody. I got more desire to stand for them than I've ever had. And every year we do something like this, it gets stronger. And I know what it's like to be scared. I know what it's like to not want to engage with culture because you're afraid of what they're going to say, what they're going to do, and how scary it seems to be out there because you don't know what somebody's going to say. All I can say is try it. Get out there and do something. That's how you're going to defeat that fear. The walls of Jericho would never have come down if everybody sat in their pews and prayed about the walls coming down. God called Joshua and his people to go and march and pray and yell. We need to march and we need to pray and we need to yell. And that's my challenge to anyone that wants to go. that thinks they can't do it. And there's safety in numbers. I mean, when you're there and there's 150, 200 other people around, there's nothing to be afraid of. You have backup. You will find strength in places you didn't know you had it. It's just, and coming from an introvert that doesn't like being out in society and around big groups of people, this says a lot. Mm-hmm. So, but the other thing too, when you were doing out doing the street ministry, holding the signs, people going by, honking, giving them their support, there's still a high percentage of people that drive by and won't even acknowledge it. They will completely avoid it, and all you know is that there is something in their past that's making them not want to acknowledge it because it brings up hurt. And all you can do is pray for them and hope that one day they acknowledge it and they deal with it, and then they conquer that whatever's in their past that's keeping them cold and heartless towards this whole thing. The encouraging thing, even though you got the people that are honking that are happy that you're doing this, you got the people that are angry and screaming things at you, and you know, at least with them, you are sparking emotion. They're seeing this, and it's making them think about something that's making them angry. And then we pray that that brings them to a place where they will deal with their anger and whatever's in their past. So it's an awesome time. Yes, you do get good feelings, but that's not what we go for. It's awesome to know that you're doing what God called you to do. It's an overwhelming feeling, and he calls us to be servants and to serve others, and it's not to lift us up. It's to lift them up, but because you do that, you do feel good because you are serving others, and I think that's what God wants. That's why he called us to do it. I love serving other people. It's awesome because it's helping somebody. So anyway, I think that's all I got. But I look forward to next year, and I hope to see a lot more people with us because it's encouraging to see the numbers grow, and not so much in a church sort of way, but to see the numbers grow of people that are going to be standing for life and for what God has called us for. Is just to see that number grow outside of these walls. It's awesome. It's amazing. So.
Amen.
Maria?
So many babies are getting killed. It breaks my heart so bad that they can't experience what I've experienced, the bad and good. They can't get to know their mom and dad and other parents and be involved in things like I am. Just breaks my heart that young people my age are afraid of what people will think and are willing to just go to the choice of abortion, and people just give them that choice. You know, Planned Parenthood just gives them that choice to just give them abortion, you know, instead of telling them there's other choices. One of the things I did learn in one of the sessions was that abortion happens a lot in the African American culture and stuff. And one of the speakers, his name was, what is it?
Johnny Hunter,
and he was a African American and a great speaker, and he gave us this little article thing that has a bunch of little articles, and it says on the back, it says the number one killer in the Black community is not HIV deaths, which is 5,686.
Homicides.
Homicides, which is 800 and 206, and diabetes, accidental deaths, cancer deaths, heart disease deaths. And if you put all these together and combine them, it isn't as big as the abortion death with the black community, which is 363,705.
Annually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to know that, just, it can't put words out there because just, it hurts to know that so many people, African Americans, whites, so many people just go to this resort and just don't even know. And with this, this is my second one. I really just opened my eyes to God and just prayed so hard. Saturday, when the workers came out and they were taking pictures and trying to make us go away and stuff and laughing at us, that was my moment, and I just prayed harder for them. I prayed that they realize, you know, God wants to help them, that they don't need to keep doing this, to just break their hearts. You know, and we sang a song that said that with God's voice, the walls will crumble, and I just kept picturing the walls crumbling of that building and just breaking. And it's no longer up, and no more babies can be killed anymore.
I'm a grandmother of almost 10 grandchildren. So I'm speaking to you as a mom, but also as a grandmother. And a few months ago, I sat there in the pew when this was announced to us that we were invited to do this. And the Lord said, you need to go. I have physical things that keep me from walking fast and keep me from standing long. So my first reaction was, Lord, if you want me to go, you got to help me do this. And through prayer of the people here in this church and encouragement from you guys, I went. I've always been somebody that supported life. I never wanted there to be this abortion issue. I didn't know what to expect when I went. I knew it wasn't going to be good. And I just think about all the grandmas that lost a chance to hold babies. But more than that, I realized that we, as a Christian community and as a nation, all have the blood of these babies on our hands. And if we don't stand, how can the Lord look on us and tell us we've been good and faithful servants? Amen. I want to let you know that as small as we are blessed beyond measure. The amount of talent and God-fearing people that we have in the network that is part of this heart for the next generation is huge. And as long as we speak truth, the Lord's going to bless us. Mm-hmm. And as Christians inside this church, we have to have a voice outside of us. Mm-hmm. Outside there, please consider coming and doing what you can. The information that's available to us right now through this woman that has done all this research is huge. It'll shine a light, and we know what the light does. It disperses the darkness.
That's right.
And we will bring the gospel to these people. We will bring the gospel to share with others because it's an issue of the heart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Amen. You guys can see it now. It's touched the heart of this generation as well as for the next generation. You ever go to something and you see all these people crying and you just stand there like a bump on a log? I mean, there were times where I was seeing that and I'm like, you know, and you begin to go, gee, Lord, is my heart, you know, not hardened, but definitely stiff. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Which it wasn't, because I know by way of truth, every ounce of fiber and passion in me is definitely concerned about this. But it's funny how the Lord will reach right up and just go, you know, at one point. And when it hit me was we'll try to show some of this again next week, some of the videos, but there was a point where there was one little girl. There was actually, they brought the teenagers that had, several of them, well, a number of them that had been a part of the impact team through this whole month. And there was a part where they brought the teens up to intercede, so they were praying. I'm telling you what, I'd take some of those prayer warriors any day. I mean, this one little girl, she spoke the word. She spoke the truth. She was crying out to God. I'm feeling my spirit just going like this, and it just kept mounting up and mounting up and mounting up, and it was powerful. And then there was a couple other teens that prayed following her, which just only complimented, obviously, in agreement, what she prayed. Then there was this one little girl. She comes in there and she's just sobbing, sobbing, sobbing. I mean, just her heart. I mean, she got a revelation spiritually and emotionally of the Father's heart. Now the emotion comes. It broke that in me. And the one thing I remember, I watched Maria, I watched Danielle, I watched these teens. We need to pray for the, I'm gonna finish my story, but I'm combining a couple of things. We need to pray for this generation. Do you see her heart this morning? This generation is now just beginning to get a revelation of their generation that's missing. See, they didn't get a choice. They didn't get a voice. They weren't old enough to even know that they needed to have a voice. They are now. And this younger generation that's getting a hold of this, I am blown away by what I was seeing. There is an appreciation. There is a revelation that God is giving them beyond what we could even, I think, comprehend. It's like this is a Joshua generation. God's going to take this generation into the promised land that's been stolen from them. But this one little girl, she started praying, and she just, it was like she was praying the prayer that the baby and babies in their mother's womb couldn't voice. And as she was praying, the thing that just, I mean, instantly my heart melted as she says, I mean, she was, like I said, she was praying like, it was definitely by the Spirit. But she was praying, Lord Jesus, give me life. And she was saying, Mother, Mommy, give me life. I want to see you. I want to tell you how much I love you. I want to hold you. From the voice of the baby in her womb. And I'm telling you, I lost it right then and there. I mean, that was a perspective that I had never even, it hadn't occurred to me at that point. And it was like she, because she was saying, Lord, let us be the voice for the babies that don't get a voice. And then it was like she took on that nature. And as she began to do that, I thought, how many children, all those beads, by the times a thousand, were praying, Lord, Mommy, don't kill me. That's what she was praying. Don't kill me. I want to see you. I want to hold you. And that's what this generation is getting a hold of. Because they really got a revelation of they got to do that. And some haven't. Sure. Amen. Amen.
We put our nose to the grindstone now and work at it.
Amen.
We can be at every one of them, not just.
And this is what we're. I don't need that. I got my own microphone. This is what the heart for the next generation. And I'm just going to close with this as a final exhortation to part with. Okay, you've heard the heart. You've heard the heart. But how many know we've got to go from what's in the heart and we've got to put feet to it, or it doesn't matter? Amen. That's what Heart for the Next Generation. This is the second year that this has done this. There's a difference. This is what Scott Heldreth, who is the assistant director of Heart for the Next Generation, has come up against. There are different mindsets, even within the pro-life community, on how you deal with this. There is a very much an activist group out there. What we were doing through Heart for the Next Generation is not activism, it's action. And action, and the action is to bring the presence of God into a place. Yes, I mean, there were people, they had workers that if there was women there, they would be able to do some sidewalk counseling with them. And there was the signs. But the goal is not to come, it's to bring the presence of God, it's to bring the love of God, it's to bring the goodness of God right there manifest in the body of Christ. And to shift, because they really do see our battle's not against flesh and blood, against the powers, the rulers, you know, the forces of darkness. And so it's to literally in that realm. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there are, the enemy has entrenched in certain places that's given him a right to be there? And so when the children of light come on the scene, and by praise and by worship and by exalting God and speaking the truth and preaching the gospel, did you hear Scott Heldreth at the end of that? That was what was going on the whole time. There was different people that would come up. I had my opportunity. I got to come up on the microphone right there. I spoke a word. I prayed. Different pastors, different leaders, different teens from the impact team. There was this constant move of worship and praise, and there would be words spoken and exhortation. Scott's trying to develop a model. See, that's why it's so important that we get as many people to these Heart for the Next Generation events, because the goal is not to just have one big event every year and that's all we do. The goal of Heart for Next Generation, and it isn't so that we can go and we can have a good feeling because we went to a good conference and we can come back up and stand behind the pulpit or in front and blubber for a half an hour. And I don't mean that disrespectfully at all. You will blubber. Okay? But that's not what it's about. That's not the end. That's the outflow of where the end is headed. And so what they're trying to do with a Heart for the Next Generation is they're trying to get people on location, in a place, experience what this is like, hear the workshops, provide equipping. There are people in connected with Heart for the Next Generation, and there were other pro-life groups that were partnering there with them to get these kind of resources out so that the church can finally actually be equipped to go out and do this like you're saying. Okay, yes, exactly. Scott has told me he would be willing to come here and train us to equip, okay? He's willing to do that. That's one of his seats, because guess what? Heart for the Next Generation's 1 week out of the year, although there is any of you know that's ever prepared anything like that. There's details among details, so there's months of preparation. But he wants to be out. Okay, here's your first opportunity. 1 month, August 22nd. This is a Saturday. Okay, Pastor Rick is going to be here the weekend before. So you would have to carve out 2 weekends in a row because I'm believing you're going to be here with Pastor Rick. Okay, that's just my little plug. But plan, they want to do as much as possible nationwide. They want groups to go on site to Planned Parenthood. Scott Heldreth, did you see that sign up there that said Planned Parenthood, trafficker of baby parts and that type of thing? They want people to go on that Saturday to a Planned Parenthood do kind of like what we were doing with the street ministry together as a voice against Planned Parenthood, because these videos are coming out. They want this thing is so exposed. Well, we want this thing so exposed to show what they're really all about. Amen. Okay, so there's your first opportunity. So we're talking a Saturday morning, August 22nd, to be able to, as a church, go to, and we'll let you know which one, because there's one in Grand Rapids, there's one in Battle Creek, again, every one of these towns surrounding, so we've got to hear God on exactly which one he wants us to go to. Or, we just might be bold enough to say, maybe we'll split up.
That's why I say we should not.
You know, and maybe we'll go and have, you know, and Scott said that. He said, it doesn't matter if it's only 4 or 5 people. Be a representative. Be a voice. You know, have the courage. So I'll get in contact with him. I'll be bringing more input to this. It's a month away. All I'm asking you to do right now is in the morning, probably from the 8 o'clock to noon zone in there, if you'd be willing to set aside that Saturday morning, and we'll figure out if we'll go to 1, we'll go to 2, we'll go to 3, whatever. I'll see how many signs we can get. And be a voice, because we are in a window right now of opportunity to really tear this thing down. And I'll tell you what, you doing that, you could write 100 letters to legislators and not have as much impact as this is going to have. Okay. And again, now, and this is what I want you to know, and don't just go to hold a sign. Go and pray. Worship. Bring the presence of God into that pit of hell, into that darkness. Shine the light. That's, man, if we'll hear that next Sunday. Pastor Keith shared about a 12-minute section on shining the light in the darkness while we were in that worship service, okay? So I want to challenge us. Here's an opportunity to really do something, not just talk about it or think about it. Amen? So I'm excited about this opportunity that quickly, right off the heels of this. But I would like to, this curriculum is still, it won't be fully done until March of next year, but I would like to get this. It's very cost effective. It's like 11 sessions, 3 modules each, about 20 minutes a module, and it's for $100. I mean, you have to do it as a subscription thing, but nonetheless, we could start training people to know what we're talking about, how to minister to people, and get people activated in the street. And listen, guys, I'm just going to tell you, we need to be, I believe, in this city, we need to be a church that is a catalyst for this. Okay? I'm praying that, and pray for me, because I want to figure out, I want to hear from the Lord on how to start communicating with other pastors. And I'm going to tell you, other pastors aren't necessarily going to jump on board. So we're going to, I just need to find out who is willing and who will lead their church. I know you all are willing. I'm talking pastors in other churches, okay? Because honestly, I would like, this needs to be a body of Christ thing. You know, but if we can be a catalyst to this, little old Life Gate Community Church, well, guess what? We ain't staying in little old Life Gate Community Church. And I don't care if it's the women at the abortion clinics and their boyfriends and husbands that we win to Christ, and that's how we build a church. So be it. So be it. If we can save, we'll save natural lives and spiritual lives. That's the difference between activism and action. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you today that you hold the keys and you've entrusted the keys of the kingdom to your people, that whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we've loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven, God. And so, Lord, we thank you that as we stand today, Lord, we want to serve notice in Jesus' name to the kingdom of darkness, that here comes the light, and she's bright because she's the bride of Christ. And Lord, as we come, we're praying for the literally removal of Planned Parenthood and these abortion mills from around not only our county, because thank you, Jesus, we don't have an abortion clinic in our community or in our county. But Lord, we know that in any direction, north, south, east, or west, women from this county can go find that. We pray, God, that you would destroy the gates of hell. That, Lord, that we would abolish, we would tear down in the heavenlies and then in the natural these institutions of darkness. Father, give us courage, give us wisdom, give us strategy. Show us how to do it, God, according to your will and your way. And God, we thank you that you're going to save lives and give us the courage to be people of salt and light. Lord, you've called us to be a lighthouse, a refuge, and a strong tower. As we go to these places shining the light, God, give us opportunities to put our arms around people who need refuge in you. May we be able to lead them to places of refuge. And God, may we indeed help them to know what it means to set their feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ, to not be shaken, to not be moved, but to be a strong tower in Jesus' name. We pray this according to your will, your glory, and your plans for us. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.